The Pentagon this month opened a new anti-terrorism base in the nation of Djibouti on the Horn of Africa. Military commanders say the mission for the nearly 2,000 troops is to track down and root out suspected terrorists. The U.S. believes Osama bin Laden's network is using lawless stretches of Somalia, Sudan, and nearby Yemen to regroup and plan new attacks on Western targets. From the U.S. military's Camp Le Monnier in Djibouti, NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Scott Campbell arrived here in East Africa to take command of this new U.S. base in the anti-terror fight a few weeks ago, on November 29th. The previous day, suspected al-Qaeda agents blew up an Israeli-owned hotel in nearby Kenya and unsuccessfully fired rockets at a commercial airliner. 16 people were killed and dozens wounded. For Campbell, the terrorist strike only reinforced the need to have the U.S. military on the ground and on the hunt in this gateway to the Middle East, where the Red Sea meets the Gulf of Aden.
I mean, you had the attack on the coal, you had the attack in Kenya, so I mean, the threat's out there. A strategic choke point, ships come in and go through the Gulf, and it's about time we established a foothold in this region, and that's what the Secretary of Defense is doing.
With its weak central governments and vast, porous, and poorly guarded borders and coastlines, the Horn of Africa seems tailor-made for any al-Qaeda agents, especially now that their Afghanistan base has been disrupted. Somalia, an anarchic state, is awash in weapons and jobless young people. Yemen, Osama bin Laden's ancestral home, contains vast tribal regions where the central government has little or no sway. And then there's perennially unstable Sudan, once bin Laden's haven, as well as the economically fragile states of Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Djibouti.
The Horn of Africa probably offers some of the greatest challenges that you could find anywhere to conduct operations.
Marine Corps Chief Warrant Officer Terry Walker is one of the some 900 joint military troops on the ground here at Camp Le Monnier. The force also includes some Army, Navy, and Air Force Special Operations units. They're all under the tactical control of Major General John Sattler. He's aboard the task force's high-tech command and control ship, USS Mount Whitney, which is far offshore and on the move in the Gulf of Aden. Major General Sattler told NPR that the goal is to let the partner nation in the region take the lead in any use of force operation, with the U.S. assisting. The idea, as Marine Gunner Walker puts it, is to use surprise to detect, disrupt, and defeat suspected terrorists.
But we want to keep the terrorist off-center. We want to keep him guessing. There can be no quarter. There can be no sanctuary. To ensure that transnational terrorism does not exist, receive a safe haven and an area to operate out of the Horn of Africa, to eradicate the disease of terrorism.
So far, the task force is more in the detection phase of the mission, several officers said, working both high-tech and on-the-ground sources to gather intelligence and pinpoint any future strike. No decision has been made yet on whether to move the command headquarters from ship to shore. For the troops on base, it's relatively comfortable for military life. Air-conditioned tents, workout and rec centers, a movie area, and cantina. But Carol Wheatley, the base's Catholic chaplain, says that sense of calm routine could easily change when combat operations begin in earnest. Chaplain Corps here, he says, has even prepared a kind of religious field manual for casualties.
A handbook, as it were, for how to help somebody who is dying if they are part of the Muslim faith, if they are Buddhist, if they are Christian, if they are Mormon, just what would a person do? So we're trying to make that user-friendly, expecting that sometimes we may have casualties and be face-to-face with combat.
On the garbage-littered streets of Djibouti's city, the increased American military presence is met with a mixture of hope and apathy. The desperately poor residents are used to foreign troops. France, the former colonial power here, has maintained a relatively large military force in Djibouti since independence in 1977. This Djiboutian woman who declined to give her name claims few have any opinion one way or the other about the U.S. being here. The U.S. has employed more than 300 Djiboutians on post as laborers, cleaners, and in other jobs. But some hope the U.S. presence will single-handedly boost the local economy, which relies heavily on Djibouti's port and the customs and taxes it collects. Djiboutian Kari Amare says he hopes the U.S. presence helps provide more jobs. It's good for the economy, he says. The base gives us work, but there are so many Djiboutians who just sit at home with no work at all. To help provide regional stability in the long term, the U.S. military plans to eventually boost humanitarian assistance, construction, well drilling, and other aid projects across the task force's area of responsibility. That hearts and minds supplement to combat operations is a long-held goal of the U.S. military, but it's an ideal the military hasn't always lived up to. As one aid official here said, unless the U.S. helps the people in the Horn of Africa help themselves, they'll be fighting the war on terrorism here for decades. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Camp Le Meunier, Djibouti.